We'd like to return to the public session of our meeting. Mr. Seitz?
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, members of the audience. At 6 o'clock, the board adjourned to closed session. Noted on the agenda, thank you. Primarily, for the first two items were labor negotiations, and there are no reportable actions. And the last item was a conference of rural property negotiations, and this has to do with the finishing up the transfers between the county and the district, and again, there was no reportable action.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Before we move on into our real agenda, just in case you're here to talk about the Cuesta Inlet, because there was a mistake in the newspaper, we are not discussing the Cuesta Inlet on our agenda, and it is not a matter that would come under our scope of authority in any case. Moving into our agenda, Mr. Buell has reminded me that item 20 is a discussion of the CSD wastewater project ratification of the draft funding plan. We will be moving that up to the top of the regular agenda, so any issues related to the assessment for the wastewater project belong under discussion of that item, and it will be the first item that we take on the regular agenda, and I would appreciate I apologize for misinforming you that we would talk about it at the start of public comment. It's not appropriate for the general public comment session. Moving into public comment, this is the time when you may address the board on any item other than those that have been scheduled on tonight's agenda. I would ask you to please come to the microphone, state your name and your address, and to please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Pandora's voice. Pandora would like to have everyone join us in singing Happy Birthday to Karen Vega.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Karen. Happy birthday.
Secret admirer.
Does Linda know?
Is there any other public comment on any item except the
You have my written monthly report as usual. We're very busy with a lot of internal things during the last month. But we still found time to do something kind of special. We participated in the Los Osos Middle School Career Expo 2000, wherein businesses and members of the community, members from different agencies, talk with the middle school students about their plans for the future and maybe give them an inkling or an idea or plant a seed of interest in a particular type of job they may be interested in and what that requires in terms of education and whatnot. We set up an equipment display, and of course they're very excited to see a lot of that, you know, the equipment that the paramedics use and whatnot. And to kind of call attention, and it was our little booth or table was very, very well attended. Nicole Gonzalez, the fire department secretary, put this together on very short notice, and so we used this poster to kind of attract attention, and I'll turn around and show it to the public here in just a moment. This was something to just kind of spark them up a little bit, if you'll excuse the pun. And the kids reacted to this very well. It was like, ooh, what's that? What's that? What are they doing there? That kind of thing. And then, of course, they wanted to see all the different kind of fire equipment and whatnot. So we thought it was very, very successful. The kids seemed to like it. It was a worthwhile excuse me. It was a very worthwhile expenditure of a couple of hours on behalf of the department.
Vice President Nash Carter, whose voice is not with us tonight, asked me to ask you if they got all fired up.
Now, that is a pun. Yeah, very well received. And most recently, it's not in this report because it happened this month, but just the other day on the 13th, right about 5 o'clock, I received a call from a person regarding a 4x4 vehicle up in our closure area. And as you are well aware, that we've issued three or four citations now. And with the recent rains, the amount of erosion on the end of Madeira at the base of Cabrillo Estates, it's really washed out, you know, quite horribly there. And this person saw a vehicle that went up into there and called me, so I went down and was able to intercept the vehicle while they were still in the closed area and got them stopped, asked for cooperation, as we always get very closely from the sheriff's office, who responded in a timely manner, and that person was awarded with a citation for having a motor vehicle in the wrong place at the wrong time and got caught, which is the real trick to catch him. But the word keeps going out. He had a brand new 4x4 and really wanted to try it out. And I said, well, you're welcome to do that. You just can't do it here. So he will pay his bail or tell it to the judge, so to speak, because in addition to the signs that we had put up initially, there are some additional big red and white signs that were posted. So he had four signs in front of him to warn him not to go up there and chose to anyhow. So we all make our choices and we all pay the consequences, so to speak. So we like to keep you informed. And the sheriff's office has been wonderful in working with us. And we...
Local planning councils, the Blue Ribbon Committee did meet with Supervisor Ovid and a sergeant last it looks like the meetings are going to start to occur in mid-April. There will be three or four of them. The end result of those meetings will be to present a white paper, so to speak, to the Board of Supervisors for supervisor action, whatever the recommendations and findings are. So it looks like that process is moving along, and we expect to have the first formal meeting sometime in mid-April.
Director Nash Carter would like to know if a member of LOCAC had been invited and was able to participate.
I believe that's the case. I don't know if somebody from LOCAC received a letter or not. I did think that Supervisor Obit did say that there would be a LOCAC, an invitation to LOCAC.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. A few months ago, Betty was presented with an Army sweatshirt, and I subsequently returned the favor to our legal counsel's wife by giving her a Marine Corps jacket, a red jacket like Betty's wearing. But I thought John needed something himself, so I finally found something that would probably be up his alley. And it says, end lawsuit abuse, and on the back you have the shark swimming around in the water, one with a power red tie on and another with a briefcase, saying they don't make products... They don't make the products you buy. They just make them more expensive. But anyway, I think...
but as it all is saying, what goes around comes around.
Mr. Seitz, you finished? Mr. Azuzzi?
I don't have a sweatshirt to give away. Can I go ahead and speak anyway? Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, staff, members of the audience. We've pretty much hit the ground running with completion of the project report. Steve Clary and Dennis Gellerman are working. I went up last week and spent quite a bit of time with them to iron out the last stages of the scope of the work, and so they refined that now and incorporated Tom Richardson's work into that scope of work, so we don't have too many scopes of work running around. We were able to go through the scope that was presented to us by Tom's new firm, find some crossover and some duplicate work, and save a bit even more money than what we had done before. We've had two meetings with Crawford and Moultari, Clark and Moore, with Chris Clark in one meeting and his assistant Nicole Phillips, and then just Nicole yesterday, and that was to coordinate the alternatives analysis, and that's been pretty much outlined out as to which sites, what processes, what disposal options, and so on that we will be addressing in the completion of the project report. And that was done in an attempt to, or necessary to make sure that we got the environmental impact report and the project report completion all on the same page and moving forward at the same time. Today, Bruce, General Board meeting, General Manager has been invited to make a 5 to 10 minute presentation and encouraged to do so. They would like to see it with not a whole lot of history, but milestones and specific dates is what they would like to hear, and what we're going to accomplish and when we're going to accomplish it. We've scheduled 3 meetings with the State Water Resources Control Board. You'll recall that the facilities plan consists of the project report, the environmental document, a revenue program in accordance with State Water Resources Control Board guidelines, and a water conservation plan. Now, on that day, we've scheduled 3 meetings. At 10 o'clock, we're going to be meeting with Jim Marshall to discuss the project report completion and our approach. At 1 o'clock, we'll be meeting with Ron Blair to discuss the revenue program. And at 3 o'clock, we're going to be meeting with Patrick Lamb to discuss the water conservation plan. So we were fortunate to get everybody's schedules all coordinated and get our team there and all of us being on the same page. With respect to the disposal site, we have a purchase order for a driller. We have a biological monitor. We have a hydrogeologist all ready to go. All we need now is a permission from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We do not have that right now. So, again, we're expecting that any moment, but we don't have it. So we cannot move. Everybody's ready to go, and we're simply waiting for that. One encouraging note, though, is that we understand that the very preliminary results of the groundwater model, that is, the staff is being trained in its use right now. The preliminary results were very promising for a disposal up around near the Broderson sites. So what's lacking at this point is the verification and the cleat work that we still must have before we can proceed and do this. That's the end of my report. Any questions? Be glad to answer.
Any questions? Thank you. Mr. Buell?
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, and the audience. My written comments are submitted with the packet. This is an analysis of your last meeting, what has been done, what is yet to be done, and then comments on prior meetings in terms of the items that are pending and yet to be done in regard to those meetings. In regard to the attachment, the annotations for the March 2nd meeting, item 16 regarded the pool. And the authorization, your board directed staff to discuss the ability of the school district to assign a lease, execute a lease with our district. Before we went to Washington, D.C., I requested Rory Livingston to analyze this, to work with Ty Green, counsel to their school district, and I was advised today that his counsel has confirmed that it is legally permissible for our district to enter into an agreement with their district for the lease of that land. So D.C., President Bowker, Vice President Nash Carner, and I did go to Washington, D.C. during the week of March 6th. We actually left here midday on the 7th and got back midday on the 10th. The detail on that trip is included in the Wastewater Committee meeting minutes, and I'd encourage anybody who's interested to read those minutes. I've tried to provide a pretty clear roadmap. I would like to comment that I thought it was an incredibly constructive trip. We did get substantial feedback from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as to the ground rules for negotiations on mitigation issues, a lot of very interesting ideas from other areas in the county as to not only how those areas have mitigated their impacts, but how they have paid for them and the different avenues, refuges, and use of land and water conservation funds, in addition to the habitat conservation program acquisition grant fund that may be available to us. Found that very encouraging. Also, we did spend, we had two separate meetings talking about getting authorized in the federal appropriations process this year so that we can seek and compete for an authorization next year. I do want to thank Director Hensley and George Milanes, our utility manager, for going down to Los Angeles on Tuesday of this week in pursuit of that goal. I understand that was a very constructive meeting also with the Corps of Engineers. So thank you very much. In regard to Assembly Bill 1865, two meetings ago, your board discussed this legislative vehicle of trying to help the community and trying to provide grant funding for low and very low income folk. And we've been invited by Assemblymember Maldonado's office to write the text for an amendment to 1865. I have provided that to Assemblymember Maldonado's office. I do have an appointment with Julia King of his staff next Monday. We'll be up in Sacramento, as Mr. Izuzzi noted earlier, to meet with the State Water Resources Control Board. Julia was very kind to put us into her schedule so that we can give her the background she needs and to push it forward. I'm also trying to set up a meeting, if we can, with Ralph Heim, who's the lobbyist for the California Special Districts Association, and bring him into that loop as well. So I think we're going to move forward on those fronts this next week. Tuesday of next week, the Board of Supervisors has on their consent calendar ratification of the agreement that you approved and President Bowker executed earlier in regard to videotaping, the loan of the videotaping equipment and the authorization to use Channel 59. You will see an item on your agenda later this evening in regard to that as well. I do expect to be at that meeting. We do have a staff recommendation to approve the agreement, so it's likely not to be pulled, and we've been advised not to comment. And I previously approved attendance at the CSDA Government Affairs Day, April 10. Thus far, I've heard from President Bowker and Vice President Nash Carner in terms of attending. If I would need to submit this in short order, if there is any other director or directors who have not indicated their interest, please do so as soon as possible so I can enroll you. This is really, truly a superb opportunity to get tuned into the legislative process, especially since we have, it looks like we're going to have a viable legislative entree in terms of AB 1865. We mentioned earlier, Mr. Izuzzi mentioned the groundwater model. We're doing training today and tomorrow. The preliminary results from Dr. Freiler are encouraging. It looks like the model runs we've done thus far suggests that we have a much better understanding of the system than was previously available, and all of the wastewater project concepts that we're exploring have been positive, with the possible exception of dewatering the 8th Street well, which we're going to have to look at really careful. I'd like to apologize to Director Hensley. Yeah.
Okay.
Director yes. Hensley yes. Effectively chaired an Emergency Services Committee meeting and was able to produce a set of draft bylaws that should have been on this agenda had I not been too tired to get it added when I got back from Washington. So I expect the board will look at that on April 6th instead of this evening?
I believe that M&Ms would be appropriate.
Okay. To throw at you, is that it? That concludes my remarks, and I am available to answer any questions.
Director Nash Conner wants to know that if you have a bear named after you, what else do you want?
Just, you know, M&Ms. In this kind of a thing, you want to even the scales, and a bag of M&Ms goes a long way in doing it.
Consider it done.
Director Smith?
I have a question I've had a request to ask. Could you make just a brief comment about the meeting that you had with the library director regarding the library project?
Yes, actually I met with Mr. Reynolds, his staff, and the other members of the General Services staff, and some members of the Parks Division of General Services as well, Mr. Jenny. It was an interesting meeting. We explored potential symbiosis between the entities in terms of the library's goal of building a larger building and understanding that the current building is not suitable and is unlikely to be able to be salvaged. My understanding of how that meeting was left is that Mr. Reynolds favors leaving the library at it.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Director Nash Conner would like to encourage you, Mr. Buell, to continue that ongoing conversation.
Yes, and I was both encouraged and discouraged by the meeting. I had hoped that there'd be a little more willingness to look at mutually advantageous solutions, but I wasn't totally discouraged either. There is at least an entree and a door there to continue discussions.
Mr. Loring? Mr. Buell?
Yes, well, this is a presentation on the Santa Isabel traffic calming project. I appreciate both the willingness to come tonight and the willingness to push this from our last meeting, which I think everybody recognized was pretty incredibly crowded. This is not an action item, Madam President, but it is a special hearing, and I would hope that we could entertain some questions following the presentation.
And I echo Mr. Buell's appreciation that we moved this to tonight from 2 weeks ago.
It was my pleasure. My name is Jeff Loring. I'm a member of the Santa Isabel Street Enhancement Committee, and say that acronym any way you like. We had a little history on the project. I believe it was 95. Members of the community applied for a grant. I believe it was a T grant funded by Caltrans. It was sponsored by County Engineering. The grant was, in fact, funded. A traffic engineer in private practice was hired, Eugene Judd. The surveys were done, and there have been a couple of neighborhood workshops to determine the needs along the street. And if it's okay, I'll go over and point to
Please do.
Generally what was presented. As a result of the survey, it was found three primary items that were of importance. The access along Santa Isabel and access across Santa Isabel were one and two being the most highly rated items. Beautification of Santa Isabel was the third highest rated item. Mr. Judd presented options for what is considered traffic calming solutions at the intersections to make for safer crossing environments and to slow traffic down a little. A drawing, this drawing was generated by my office, and combining the elements that were presented in the workshops and the survey. And in the last workshop, the attendees chose among the options to bring treatment might not be so, might be downplayed a little. The a walkway, a pathway was developed from on the north, or excuse me, on the south side of Santa Isabel, extending from 7th Street up to 17th. And landscaping was included, suggestion being that taller trees be on the south side, some maybe a cypress that could be pruned up high so that people from their houses could see under the canopy, and more indigenous coastal oak and other planting would seem appropriate on the north side of the street. And it would be nice to, in fact, bleed, if the budget allows, that landscaping into the side streets towards Elfin Forest. In addition, as presented at 15th Street, a bus stop shelter was indicated. Some type of entry monuments were shown at 17th. Each intersection has a landscaped island and the possibility of a bench with an overlook at 7th Street. All these items were suggested in the survey and supported by the findings in the workshop. The minimums that were presented were the intersection treatments with options for how those intersections might be treated, whether they're textured, whether they're raised, whether they're just striped. And alternate budgets for that were presented. The findings, which I believe you have a matrix that kind of summarizes the findings, and at the second page, budgets from those findings were developed with a budget in the range of $140,000 to $150,000. We've ended up being approximately $3,000 over budget, combining the survey preferences and the workshop preferences. And I think that pretty much covers what has happened to date.
Questions for Mr. Loring? Mr. Hensley?
Could you explain a raised crosswalk?
A raised crosswalk would be raised approximately 2 inches. It would be approximately 20 feet wide. It would have ramps of about 4 feet for that 2-inch raise. It wouldn't be just a rolled shape. So there's a ramp going to it.
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't some kind of elevated.
Yeah, it's not a
speed overpass bump. No, not a speed. I was thinking speed. I was wondering what does it mean raised. And I don't know if it even applies in this area, but a friend who uses a wheelchair pointed out to me once that the brick intersections in San Luis that look real great are not that much fun for a wheelchair.
We've been made aware of that. And any texturing would be very mild for that reason. And no. Typically, well, a couple of things. County has to have cause for a stop sign, and right now they don't. It takes an accident, serious right. accident, for that to happen. In addition, for pollution, stop signs aren't considered good solutions because traffic, what's called spike traffic, they stop and they gun it and stop again and gun it. All of the elements that are used, including the gateway, the landscaping, creates an enclosure. An enclosure is found to slow traffic down in a natural way, in addition to the other what are called vertical or horizontal treatments.
Director Nash Corner said, nice job.
Thank you. Very nice.
there any public comment? Please step to the microphone and state your name.
Yes, Josh Olichek. I am your appointee for District 2 Board of Supervisors Bike Advisory Committee. I'm also the chairman. I noticed that I must applaud this entire committee, and I'm sure Mr. or Dr. Judd has done an excellent job on this. A couple of recommendations about the textured walkway. San Luis Obispo did have some trouble with that, though they did contact the wheelchair community, and it seemed like that wasn't a problem at the time. My recommendation is to put the texturing before and after your crosswalk in perhaps the intersection. So that's a minor. Another thing that you could take advantage of here is a sinuous route. Of course, you know you have a fairly wide right-of-way here. So at each corner, you could actually jut it back and forth, and that's another opportunity. I'm sure you've looked into that, though.
We have, and it's an expensive solution. We just don't have the budget to try that.
Sometimes it's just a matter of restriping. Also, of course, with the Bike Advisory Committee, we would like to know about how the traffic would interact with the bicycle and if there's any impediments to the cyclist.
Well, we think not. Where it was a 5-foot pathway, we're recommending a 6-foot pathway. Wider stripes to create the sense of more separation from the automobiles. Other than that, I don't know in terms of interaction what you might be referring to.
Bulb outs, that kind of thing, your raised crosswalks?
No bulb outs.
Okay.
Straight through for the cyclists.
Gordon, if you would like to see one of these raised walkways, I think it's Sinsheimer Public School has a good example from the school to the parking lot.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Chief?
I've been involved with this committee for a number of months, certainly not as long as Jeff and some of the other members that were there from the inception. And one of the concerns and one of the reasons that I've been in the traffic lane, we move up towards an intersection. If you have a very long island, and if you have someone that is in the traffic lane, and this happens, people look up in the rearview mirror, they're startled, all of a sudden they see the red lights, they hear the siren, and they don't know quite what to do, and so a lot of times they just stop in front of you. When that occurs, if we're trapped behind that vehicle and trapped in the traffic lane by the island, we can't get out. And then we have to all stop, give this person the opportunity to move or decide what they're going to do so that we can go through. My suggestion to Mr. Judd, with all due respect, because he's a very talented and intelligent man, is to shorten the islands up, to make them shorter to where if a car is stopped there, that the island would be about a car length or a pickup truck length long. And if we approach that vehicle from behind and see that that vehicle is having difficulty, the driver having difficulty as to what to do, that we still have that opportunity to go into the oncoming lane very cautiously and go around them and proceed through the intersection. This makes it much safer for them, much safer for the firefighters. And I still think, personal opinion, that's all it's worth, but I still think that it accomplishes the traffic calming and the identification where the crosswalks are that Jeff has displayed on the drawing here, a beautiful drawing. That's the comment that I would make to you. It's the comment I've made to the committee, and it's a concern that we have. And we've moved away from any speed bump issue. I think members of the community appreciate that. I know we certainly do after having broken springs on one of the fire trucks on Pine 2 years ago, and I've mentioned that before, because that rebounding effect as you go over the speed bump, and we had to put new springs under one of the fire trucks. Not cheap, and certainly not something we want to duplicate. That's kind of the end of my comments, but I just wanted the public and yourselves to know that we do have that concern, and maybe shortening the islands would still accomplish what we're after, but also accomplish the public safety thing a little better. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any other public comment?
Could I just respond to that?
Certainly.
Chief, I don't know where this was the last time you saw it, but currently the islands are planned to be 33 feet long.
I thought I heard you say 60 or 70.
No. In addition, the width from curb of island to outside of bike lane is 16 feet. So.
That's a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Simonson.
Bob Simonson. What is the CSD's role going to be in this? Are you taking action tonight? Or?
No, this was simply an informational presentation.
Are you going to take action at some time?
It's a roads project. It's not a CSD project. It would be to pat forward the chief's recommendations concerning public safety issues.
Oh, so you're not going to... Okay.
The request to place this item on the agenda actually came from the committee itself. This was an outreach function, not a district effort to comment.
Okay.
Issues that are CSD related. There is lighting, low lighting, approximately 3 feet high at each of the islands. That has to be somehow paid for, funded, and maintenance and watering for landscape.
Mm-hmm. So there would be some operational issues to be discussed, but the design issue would be LOCAC. I'm waiting for Pandora to tell me what she wants to say. Would LOCAC like us to write a letter of recommendation?
Well, yeah, or your office
after.
Yeah, I would think so. All
right. Well, it wasn't. It was not an action item on this at this point in time. But yes, if you would like us to do that, we'll bring it under consideration. Thank you. And as Mr. Loring pointed out, also, if there's to be lighting and if there's to be irrigation, there's landscape maintenance, watering issues. Mr. Gustafson.
Thank you, Madam President. Chief, did the explanation satisfy you? You said that it's a lot better. Does the explanation comport with what you need?
I still think 33 feet is a little long, but I was hearing 60 or 70, and that's what had been discussed originally, and I was still in that mindset. Unfortunately, I was out of town and not able to attend the last meeting, so I didn't get the most recent information. Something less than 33 feet would suit our needs better. Like I said, if it was more like the length of a pickup truck, like 23 feet. I think we could live with 33 if there's an absolute need to have it that way or that you lose the visual impact, but I think that's things that the committee needs to work on with Mr. Judd and see what might be available to reach the middle ground and try to make everyone happy. So I think we can live with 33, what we would prefer shorter. That's my bottom line, I guess, if you're asking me that.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Any other comment? Thank you, Mr. Loring. We're now ready to take comment on the consent agenda. If anyone would like to speak to the consent agenda, please come to the microphone and state your name and place of residence. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'd like to pull an item.
Which item?
Item 11.
Is there a motion to approve items 5 through 10?
So moved.
And Director Nash-Corner, are you seconding? Mrs. Vega?
Director Gustafson?
Yes.
Vice President Nash-Corner?
Yes.
Director Hensley?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
President Bowker?
Yes. Item number 11, Mr. Buell?
Thank you, Madam President. At your last meeting, your board discussed nominating Mr. Seitz to represent you on this ad hoc planning process review committee. Your staff recommendation for this packet in the consent calendar was to formalize that in the form of a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Vega.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Hensley?
Yes.
Vice President Nash Carner?
Yes.
Director Gustafson?
Yes.
President Bowker?
Yes. Mr. Buell, item 20.
All right. We are moving to item 20 for the members of the public. This is preview the March 31st Regional Water Quality Control Board discussion of the district's wastewater project and ratify a draft funding plan. The district was requested to submit a draft funding plan, a copy of which is attached to this agenda item. That draft funding plan does include an assessment spread that was the assessments adopted by your board in concept on March the 2nd. Subsequent to publication of the staff report, your wastewater committee met. That meeting was the 14th of March. They have requested that your board reconsider your concept decision in regard to the assessment spread, and I am prepared to talk about that if your board wants to make a motion to reconsider that assessment spread. Now would be the time and place to do so. If you are going to change the draft plan, you would need to do so tonight or set a special meeting sometime between now and March 31st so that I could present whatever position your board wishes to take. I do have copies of the assessment options that your board did look at on March 2nd, if that would be of any assistance to the board. I have consulted with district council. It is district council's opinion that should you wish to reconsider this, it should be done by a motion and a second, and it would require three affirmative votes to reconsider your prior position.
And public comment.
Thank you.
And public comment.
Because it's a motion. Before I ask for board comment, I would like to offer my apologies to the Wastewater Committee. I think that in our very sincere effort to try to stay on with the timeline, to move things forward, to consider everything that we're hearing from our constituents as well as our committee, that we gave the appearance that we did not appreciate your effort and your hard work. If you had not made the recommendation that you had made, I have a sense that the vote would have gone even further in the other direction than it did go. The Wastewater Committee met two nights before our meeting. We had an executive meeting. We were working under staff's advice to make a decision on our March 2nd meeting so that staff could begin working on all the work that has to be done to form the assessment district. We were very concerned that we would get into a contentious situation. We probably should have taken the opportunity to get back to you. We simply, in all questions, dropping things at the drop of a hat when we don't understand dwelling unit equivalents and how did you do the counts and all that sort of thing. You've been a terrific asset, and we appreciate it. I'd now like to open up to board comment.
This time.
Mr. Gustafson?
Yeah, no, I don't have any comment at this time. I'll reserve my comments to later. Might.
Is there public comment?
Is this public comment just on dealing with whether or not you're going to reconsider it, or do you want public comment on the reasons for going ahead and changing your decision? They're two different things.
Well, I think...
I take it you're going to be voting in a minute on
we haven't
whether
made
or not
a motion.
You're going to reconsider.
No, we haven't
or
made
Or whether you're going to reconsider at all.
There's no motion on the floor, so okay. I can't tell you what we're going to be voting on.
Madam Chairman, if I can just help, I think that anybody wishing to give public comment should give public comment on the draft report that you're considering and any reasons why it should be changed. So it should be all-encompassing. Then at the end of that public comment, the board will, as I understand it, will have the opportunity to review the staff report and make a determination whether or not they want to reconsider the prior action. And again, as the president has pointed out, that would require a motion, a second, and three votes to reconsider. Then they'd go back through the process and reconsider it. So I would encourage the public to give full public comment on the agenda item as presented.
Thank you, John. My name is Jerry Gregory, 1161 Green Oaks, and kind of a proud, well, not a member anymore of the Wastewater Committee, but I guess a subcommittee to the subcommittees. I would ask you respectfully that you would reconsider your decision on the supplemental or secondary mitigation. I prefer to see, as your advisory group had mentioned or requested, that we go to spreading the cost throughout all of the properties within the prohibition zone. That's all properties. That's vacant, and that is current residents. Now, we can probably sit here and argue or come up with all kinds of ideas or reasons why we should be doing that. Obviously, I think the vacant lot property people probably have suffered the most than anybody in this community. As a realtor, I've worked with a lot of those people. A lot of those people have wanted to build for many years, and now they're going to be having an extra cost put on them. We could probably argue in some ways that, you know, if I had been here since 1960, maybe I shouldn't have to pay for the sewer. It wasn't my problem. It's the people who came behind me. I would think finally 2 years ago or a year and a half ago when we formed the CSD, we became a community. And I think these costs should be part of the community as a whole. So I'd ask you.
But equally amongst all the property owners in the prohibition area. What we are doing here by having a larger assessment to the vacant property owners is set up an adversarial situation that those property owners might be more likely to vote down an assessment district based on property owners' votes. Why? Because they look at their fees and find that every month they pay more than the total yearly assessment that would be parceled out to all property owners within the prohibition zone.
Mr. Buell, is that correct?
No,
I don't understand. I thought it was $47 and $54 a month.
The difference between having all property owners pay and having the split recommendation that this board has approved is 87 cents a month, approximately 87 cents a month. Over a year, that's about 10 bucks.
Not quite, if I might, Madam President. If you were to spread the assessment equally, that's the Wastewater Committee recommendation, everybody would pay $48.41. The compromise adopted by this board in concept at the last meeting would reduce the assessment to developed lots from $48.41 to $47.66, which is a 75-cent decrease, versus the increase, if you look at what happens to small vacant lots under an acre, their assessment would increase from $48.41 to $54.73.
What about 48 to 53?
Mm-hmm. 48 to 54.
Okay, that's $6 a mm-hmm. month.
So it's $72 a year.
Right. Where if you spread it equally, you're going to raise it from
48, 41.
To
54, 73. $6.22. $6.50
cents a month.
$0.75 a month.
Anyhow, very small change in the scope of everything, and to have everybody on an equal footing, because everybody really is the reason that we have endangered species. If no one was here, there'd be no endangered species because the habitat would be complete. So for us to say we're here, you know, dumping on the majority, or at least half, on the 600 and something vacant property owners does not seem fair to me. And in the spirit of what we formed the CSD on and getting this wastewater project going, I think it should be viewed as equitable across the board for everybody. Thank you.
Good evening. I'll be real brief. Hunter Kilpatrick, Los Osos. I just want to support what Jerry says and what Frank says.
When you voted, and it wasn't real clear to me what the reasons for the compromise were. I know, like, I didn't hear the board discuss as a whole what the objections were to our recommendation. Now,
Mr. Simonson, the night of the public hearing in February, there was a lot of dialogue by the board about rationale for assessment, and there was very strong statements made by some board members against having any of the mitigation be borne by the existing homeowners.
Okay, and I understand that some of the justification for that was legal, which we went and we got some opinion from legal counsel. But I guess what frustrated me was you had it. Let's just take the legal issue. You ended up with a compromise that didn't solve the legal issue. The legal issue was still there. All it did was split the amount in half. And if you're going to compromise, it seems to me you ought to deal with the issues in the compromise. And from my viewpoint, you didn't save those of us that have developed property. You saved us 75 cents a month. To me, that's not worth what the compromise was. As far as the legal issue goes, if that issue was, well, should those people legally have to pay for something they weren't required to when they built their homes, them paying for half of it didn't solve that problem either. So I would hope in the future when the board looks at compromise, you look at the issues you're trying to compromise and not just throw the baby out with the bathwater, which that's what I saw you do that night. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Richard LeGros. Rose, I'd like to thank you for your comments before this all began. I do appreciate it, especially because, I've been kind of let in from the cold, because you all know my background. A very unusual thing happened last Tuesday. A group of usually very argumentative people agreed on something very vehemently, and that is the spread of the mitigation costs, secondary mitigation costs, would be equitable and equal for everybody in the community. There are arguments, legal arguments, stating that basically why should the sins of the fathers be paid for by the children? Well, there's a lot of precedence for this. I mean, there are many instances in today's society where situations that were caused by people in the past, however innocently, has to be mitigated by those who are now living in a certain area. It's very common. The courts have found time and time again that these are problems that have to be resolved, and the money has to come from somewhere. The reason the committee is so adamant on spreading the cost, readdress the issue of the spread and mitigation costs. Thank you.
My name is Betty Clark. I live on Highland Drive here in Los Osos. I want to speak for the people. They're talking for the people who have the vacant lots. I want to speak for the people who already have homes here, who have children going to school here. I was part of the people who collected signatures when people said the county plan was too expensive. I went door to door delivering literature. It was too expensive. I helped some people be elected who said they could do it cheaper, faster, and better than the county. I had a real problem when I heard that the people who have not maybe necessarily been contributing to the community because they live in other areas, but they own a lot, and my hunch is they bought the lot for speculation purposes, are expecting the citizens who've been working here and living here to pay for their costs so they can turn around and sell a lot or build a house and sell the lot and gain a lot. And I would have a lot of trouble going back to the people who I've said we could do it cheaper, faster, and better, and say, oh, by the way, we also want you to pay for these other people's lots. When I've sat through meetings and listened to the board try to figure out how to cut costs on the project, I would rather see that $3 million or so that we're talking be spent on the project for some of the things you had to cut. Okay? I was against it. I'm willing to support the board's decision. I don't want to pay for it all.
Al, don't take it out. It upsets the way the microphone works.
Well, my name is Al Barrow, and I live at 700 El Moro. If anybody wants to throw eggs at my house, just swing on by. I don't care. But I disagree with you people. I like everybody in this community.
Mr. Barrow, you're talking to us.
I'm talking to everybody.
Yeah, but you're addressing the board in public comment.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is that I like everybody in the community. However, I disagree with all the members of the board. And because I disagree with you all doesn't mean I don't like you, okay, or that I'm your enemy. But I think there's more than one side to this, and I don't think it's being covered. I don't think the general public really have the time to put their input in. They put their trust in you to do the best decisions for them that you could. And I don't think you can expect them to come to every meeting and cover every issue. So therefore, the silent majority, whatever, is really not being heard. And from my standpoint as a normal person, if somebody asked me for some money, I wouldn't give it to them unless I thought they really had a serious need and didn't have anywhere else to get it. The Wastewater Committee's asking everybody to give them some money. They all, or most all of you, own property that you want to develop. And they have a developer type of interest. Pandora has property. You know, there are a lot of, I don't care, I can say what I want to here. And I'm going to say it loud and clear. If you have an interest in, and you have property and you stand to gain by this, then I think we could numerically, even if there were 600. And a lot of them aren't even going to vote. So my feeling is that if you do open this up and you do decide to review it again, then we should make a move to deny the secondary mitigation as part of this project completely and allow these gentlemen to go ahead and pay extra high fees, have their own EIR consultants, and go through that extra cost, which will be very much more. But there was so much greed in the meeting at the Wastewater Committee the other night that I couldn't sleep all night, and I'm disgusted with it.
Jeff Gurley, the Wastewater Committee. And I don't know if I want to follow that, but I do want to bring to light some of the other board or committee members that couldn't be here tonight. I think you all got an email from Dave Mayfield. I want to underscore what Dave had to say. It's extremely important in my picture. As two people that were involved on the door-to-door and telephone communication with the community before we even voted in the CSD, I need to underscore the response that I received personally. That is that everyone needs to share in this secondary mitigation. not just the individual undeveloped property owners, not just the developed property owners, but everyone equally. So my vote in terms of Tuesday night this week was in support of that perspective. And that's all. Thanks.
Is there any additional public comment?
I apologize because I have no voice. And this is not the day not to have a voice. This has been a really difficult issue. And the Wastewater Committee has wrestled long and hard about how do we live in a community together and share equitably, those of us who are here.
I'm reading for Pandora. I would like to make a motion to reconsider the mitigation assessment concept selected by the board on
March 2.
All DUEs within the prohibition zone, regardless of size, who will contribute to secondary mitigation will be assessed on potential DUEs. All property outside the prohibition zone will be responsible for their own mitigation. Therefore, spread the assessment equally within all properties within the zone.
Thank you.
Is there a second? Before the 31st of March. Mr. Buell is in the position of having to go before the Regional Water Quality Control Board. He has already had his hand figuratively slapped because we did not include our funding plan in our January 31st report. We had sent a letter with the report indicating that we wanted to allow an opportunity for public participation in discussion of the funding plan. Regional Water Quality Control Board said that wasn't our decision to make. We have been told that the funding plan is due to them on March 31st. Whatever happens, if we want to maintain our credibility as a community that can make this project happen, we have to make sure that we can do that. If we fail to bring that funding plan before them, we're jeopardizing a lot more than community discontent. We're jeopardizing the project. We have asked the State Water Resources Control Board to work with us and to believe that this brand new district that they never heard of with no fiscal credibility could pull this off. We've told Regional Water Quality Control Board that we know what we're doing, that we've got a good project in mind, that we've got the competent consultants to make this happen. If we fail to come to that board with a plan on that date, and if Mr. Buell has to stand there and says they don't know what they want to do, I can tell you that we're in for some very, very rocky road.
My feelings about that are that this is not a properly noticed hearing then for us to make a decision on.
Mr. Seitz, can you comment on that?
Well, I think that the way it is agended, it meets the minimum requirements of the Brown Act. However, there are policy considerations that the board can make. I read from the agenda that it says it's a preview of the 331 Wastewater Quality Control Board discussion of the Los Osos Community Service District and to ratify the draft funding program. And that's exactly what is before the board.
Mr. Gustafson?
Yes, I have some comments to the merits if this is a proper time to speak to them relative to the public discussion.
I have always tried to have the discussion in this room reflect civility and common courtesy. The law says that if someone is disruptive, I must clear the entire room. I am not allowed to throw out one individual. So I'm asking you to treat all the discussion of a very serious subject with the respect that it deserves. I don't want to clear the room, but I will. Mr. Gustafson?
Thank you, Madam President. There was some discussion earlier. I know Mr. Freiler talked about more likely to vote down. I've talked with approximately 40 people in the last 2 weeks on this issue. Not one is in favor of spreading costs between developed and vacant land. Basically, what they asked me is, why should we have to do that? I mean, it's the vacant landowner that has the mitigation requirement. We have no legal requirement in terms of a developed landowner, as far as I know. When talking about the compromise, the reason for the compromise is Mr. Simmons had said he didn't have secondary mitigation as part of it. And the question in terms of secondary mitigation, in terms of cleaning the groundwater, there would be a real question for me that you couldn't, why couldn't you separate that out? And if you did separate it out, there would then not be any legal requirements still on the developed landowners. And that would be certainly a question, because what we would be doing is we would be putting this on through the project itself. You're not going to use your
Pandora
mic?
Pandora doesn't need it.
Not tonight? Okay. So I certainly have some questions with respect to that. Mr. LeGros talked about sharing equally and all the lots to be sharing equally in the benefit. My understanding is that if there were not secondary mitigation as a package, the way the district wants to move forward, that in fact each of the individual vacant landowners would wind up negotiating and dealing with and evaluating their properties and going to Fish and Wildlife and going to the regional board and getting approvals. And that would include, as I think Mr. Simmons had mentioned in a meeting in the region, at the wastewater meeting of 6 or 8 weeks ago, you're looking at probably $6,000 just in that, without even talking about the mitigation itself. So you're probably looking at maybe $20,000. I don't see a $20,000 benefit that would inure to the vacant landowners based upon an entire secondary mitigation package. I don't see any of that benefit inuring to the developed landowner. Now, if we're talking about sharing all this, are we actually then talking about we're going to be in partnership, and are the vacant landowners in some way going to give back to the absent the taxes that have been paid all these many years? I understand that there have been no discussions relative to how many of the vacant lots have been purchased since the first listing of an endangered species in Los Osos, because if those lots that had been purchased since that point in time, as far as I'm concerned, they're all on legal notice that there is a problem and they would ultimately have to mitigate. And would they be entitled to the same kind of treatment? I would doubt that. But again, in terms of the compromise, I can understand why the compromise would be taken, and I believe that there is a justification for it to resolve this issue and move forward. And I think the points that President Bowker has made in terms of moving forward are very, very it's a very necessary thing that we do move forward, because, yes, we do have the meeting coming up, and we don't want to go in front of regional board with our act not together. We have a real problem with that. I just think that given all those facts and the fact that I don't see the benefit that inures to the developed properties, they happen to be here before the requirement, the direct causation, which is the Endangered Species Act, and having the endangered species listed. And once that happened, it changed the ball game. And that is certainly true. And I understand that. The question you have is, when you go back to the developed landowners and say, the game has now changed since you built, and now we want you to pay too, I think that's a very difficult subject to bring back to somebody that already is
move ahead in reconsideration without noticing this in such a way that the people who were here last time spoke understood that this is what was going to happen tonight.
Only if we reschedule it for another week. So your motion,
with no second.
You have Director Nash Carner. Would you reconsider your motion so that you would we would reconsider this at a special meeting? Director Nash Carner will reconsider her motion to restate it that this item will be back, brought back to the board at a special meeting, provided that the timing of the special meeting gives staff sufficient time to prepare their report for the 31st.
I can second that. Thank you.
Any other comment? Mrs. Vega?
Director Smith?
No.
Director Hensley?
Yes.
Director Gustafson?
No.
Vice President Nash Carner?
Yes.
President Bowker?
No. I would like to call the public's attention to an item in our bylaws. The bylaws state that following a decision made by the board shall support each member who each member of the board will support that decision, whether or not they voted for it, that we will act together as a board and will support the directions and the movements that we made. I believe we could argue this item forever. I don't think we're ever going to have unanimity. I voted the way I did because for every person that said to me they wanted to see it spread among the community, I have people said they didn't understand why they had to pay for it. I know that it seems silly to reduce some owner's monthly assessment by a mere 75 cents just to allow and to charge other people $6. However, I feel we've avoided the other extreme of some people paying over $100 a month and some people paying a lot less. I am more comfortable with staff having more time to prepare a better report and to work on this project than to spend more time with the same discussion that's going to go on the same vein as it's gone at each time we've talked about this. Mr. Buell.
Madam President, staff recommends that you authorize two directors to represent you at the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting of March 31 and that you ratify submission of the draft funding plan. My recommendation in terms of directors would be the director serving on the wastewater committee.
Director Gustafson and Vice President Nash Carner.
Yes.
Director Hensley.
You want a motion or a comment first?
You may have a comment.
I have a comment that when Mr. Milanez and I presented this to the Army Corps of Engineers on Tuesday, they liked it. Of course, they don't have any sway over it, but they liked it.
Liked what?
This presentation.
Oh, Mr. Buell's presentation.
Can I have it restated, please?
The motion was to move staff recommendation to ratify the funding plan and appoint you and Director Nash Carner to attend the meeting.
Yes.
Vice President Nash Carner?
Yes.
Director Hensley?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
President Bowker?
Yes. Moving on to item 12.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board and the audience. This item is to consider adopting guidelines for the operation of Channel 59. It is likely that the Board of Supervisors will approve an agreement or approve execution of an agreement your board has already approved next Tuesday, in which case soon thereafter you would be in a position to initiate operation of Channel 59. Before you do so, you do need some guidelines. It is critical to have a clear statement as to what you will accept and what you will not accept for broadcast on your television station. Staff has prepared, with the assistance of AGP, a draft set of guidelines. It is slightly different than the one that AGP recommended. Primarily, our belief is that you should tape the first 2.5 hours of your board meeting. It is our belief that you can structure your agendas to pack the critical items in that time period, the items of most interest to the community, and minimize your cost in that manner. The rest of the draft guideline is pretty much as what was recommended by your AGP. I believe council had one comment and request for clarification that I'd like him to discuss.
I didn't realize our conversations came to that. To an agenda item, but I'm taking a look, Madam President and members of the board, at item number 5 at the bottom, and it says the Channel 59 operations manager may sell copies for a fee not to exceed $25. I thought it was a little ambiguous as to where that $25 was going to end up. And, and maybe the folks from AGP could review that with the board.
Mr. Matthews.
Steve Matthew, principal, AGP Video, Morro Bay resident. To that particular item, actually, we sell them. We produce them and sell them. The money ends up with us.
So
Everywhere else in the county. It's actually not that big, believe it or not, it's not that big a thing because we put it on TV. So if we sell from 1 to 6 copies behind any meeting, it's actually a miracle.
Would it be more appropriate, I'm asking this as staff, that instead of saying that made to the Channel 59 operations manager, that we state, this is an agreement with AGP, isn't it?
Well, we will have. We've never charged $25. In point of fact, that line item we actually carried over from Morro Bay's guidelines, and City Council over there came up with that, and we just never have. And when they came up with it, we were charging $5 a copy. We thought that was astronomical, but.
Director Nashkarner has just changed her motion.
I know. She wants it down on paper.
But these are our general operating guidelines for Channel 59, which are going to be really separate from our contract with AGP. So I would like to keep the specific dollar amount out so that we don't end up having to change two documents. Any other board comment? Mr. Matthews, do you have any other comments you'd like to make?
I do, actually. it's me, still here. And I'm going to stop doing my dental appointments on Thursdays because you guys get the raw me here. I wasn't ready for this. I just got this 4 hours ago. I've got a whole lot of questions about this. I'll start with the easy, gentle ones first. There is a high probability that Channel 59 may not be offered up as Channel 59 once this becomes the charter system, and maybe even before. For technical reasons, we may need to go to Channel 62, and Morro Bay, regrettably, will also have to, I love 54, will have to go to 60, all in keeping with trying to create a countywide consistency, because Channel 59 is being occupied on the charter system currently by ZDTV, and when the two systems merge, Channel 59 will already be occupied, and it presents a whole other problem. So I don't know what this board's feeling is about it, but one thing that we could do tonight to help facilitate that and not to box anybody in, my suggestion would be if we are ultimately going to have to occupy 62, to go immediately there. That would be the easiest. It's a reincarnation of 59 with a new face. Then 3 months down the line, we don't have to tell people that Channel 59 is moving to Channel 62 out of necessity. One way that we could accommodate that in the verbiage here would be to just change it to guidelines for adopt guidelines, and I just wrote it on the first page, guidelines and for operation of Los Osos Community Government Access Channel or something like that, so that it specifies what it's pertinent to, but at the same time doesn't affix any numbers to it that have to be changed in the future.
That would seem, Mr. Buell.
Your agreement is fortunately somewhat broader. Your board executed an agreement, if I might read what the language of the agreement says. The county will permit the CSD the use of a county-controlled cable channel in Los Osos. So at this point, this is the first
service district government access channel, then just put in hearing channel. On the very one, then as you go down through the guidelines channel, we'll just mean that.
Have you and Mr. Buell had an opportunity to talk?
Not on this item. As a matter of fact, this just came up as a result of I spent 3 hours one day last week over at the CSD building with the charter hired LA fiber optics team.
If it represents a significant change in the policy, perhaps it would be better to make those changes and bring it back to the board at our next meeting.
I'm sort of in a state of shock. I don't quite know what's happened.
Yeah, I think that would be better. Mr. Hensley made that recommendation. I agree with him that rather than all of us trying to guess what we're doing with, if you could revise the draft and bring it, let us read it and bring it back, and we'll do a better job of making a decision.
Okay.
Madam President, you might still want to continue with public comment.
Certainly.
I would like that. Because now we're going to get into this little item about cutting the meeting to 2.5 hours. Let me put forward first that I understand what it is that you're trying to do. However, I got a whole page full of notes here. I could lay a whole lot of things out. The bottom line is we're the only ones that's going to get hurt here on this, and I kind of don't feel it's fair because no matter what, we're not going to turn the cameras off at 2.5 hours. We do meetings gavel to gavel. That's the way we've always done them. That's the way we'll always do them. That's what we contracted to do. That's what the RFP stated. That's what we agreed to with the RFP. What's happened here is the RFP estimated these meetings at an average of 3 hours per meeting. That's what everything was based on. Now, if you're thinking that you're going to run more than 3 hours, and in point of fact, because of the way we structured the overtime clause, in excess of 4 hours, because we give you the first hour free, then the RFP was wholly misrepresentative. The way we have structured the overtime clause is, in every other contractual situation that we have in the county, the contractor wins 9 out of 10 times because that first hour is free. You don't even click a clock until you go past 11, okay? And in the case of Los Osos, we actually even cut you more slack, gave you another hour because we didn't charge you for setup and teardown. We gave you the full 3 to start out with, okay, just to help fit it into the budget. We've done a lot of things to make this work for you here, not the least of which is help facilitate on a very large level getting this channel together. Okay, we've donated up more than 40 hours of our own time trying to facilitate just getting the equipment from the county. Okay, well, basically, we've collectively gotten the county to kick down $15,000 worth of equipment that you guys ain't got to pay a cent for. I got a company, Charter Cable Company, that doesn't even have a contract in this territory yet to come in here and spend $10,000 on fiber optics and radiance, the contraptions on both ends, to make the whole thing work.
Okay.
Did I say enough?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there other public comment?
My name is Gwen Taylor. I reside on Mitchell Drive, and I am speaking on behalf of Marla Morrissey. I support full and entire coverage of the TV coverage of the CSD meetings. Sometimes I can't stay the entire time, and the TV coverage allows me to hear agenda items and public comment, I would never hear. I appreciate the coverage and how it can bring on community togetherness. If part of a meeting is recorded, yet not all, I would wonder what had occurred at the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Is there other public comment? Mr. Buell, do you need a motion?
I would recommend you move to continue this item until April 6th.
Is there a motion to continue this to April 6th?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number 13, amend Montgomery-Watson agreement to add recharge evaluation.
Thank you, Madam President. Members of the board and the audience, on March 2nd, your board directed staff to negotiate an amendment to the project completion report authorization, which you approved at that time for $201,055. You had also heard a presentation by Tom Richardson in which he suggested that it would likely cost around $40,000 to do the research work required to complete recharge analysis. What occurred in the last 2 weeks since your last meeting is some real pencil sharpening. Mr. Izuzzi noted that we were able to cut $14,000 out of the previous proposal. It turned out that Mr. Richardson's cost was $34,000. So instead of recommending to you a contract for $235,000, we're recommending that you increase this from $201,000 to $221,000, which is an increase of $20,000. Both the Wastewater Committee and staff have recommended that you include this work. We believe it's critical to securing ultimate state approval of the project and then figuring out how to achieve the sustainable water supply for Los Osos.
Board comment? Public comment?
Al Barrel, 700 Los Osos. The recharge is the sticking point going back to the county's proposals, and the recharge, according to Mr. Richardson, the Montgomery Watson consultant, could be extremely expensive. However, I think Gordon Hensley has found sources with the Army Corps of Engineers, which may help us a great deal with that and may actually turn our project into a very good-looking one, so I'm supporting that. I think you should do whatever you need to get that going.
Is there other public comment? Is there a motion to amend the Montgomery-Watson agreement? Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Fagan?
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Hensley?
Yes.
Vice President Nash Carner? Director Gustafson?
Yes.
President Bowker?
Yes. Item number 14, revised wastewater project loan authorization.
This item is what we've done traditionally to fund your wastewater project studies. As laid out in Exhibit A, including the action you just taken, you've actually authorized $1,476,000 worth of studies. Thus far, your authorization to pay those is $1,062,000, and those were as a function of resolutions 1999-16, 1999-24, and 2002. We're requesting this evening is adoption of a resolution that would increase that authorization from the $1,062,000 by $414,000 to get you to your $1,476,000. As you have done historically, we're recommending that you borrow 60% of that $414,000 from your water fund and 40% from your fire department fund, and that you repay those loans when they're actually drawn down with the interest that you're currently earning, which is around 5.7% from LAIF. Staff's recommendation is to adopt the resolution included in your packet.
Board comment?
I have some questions. Item 13, federal interaction. We have not seen a scope of work for the Montgomery Watson Capital Management. Will we see that?
Well, we have an agreement that was negotiated on your behalf. Yes, I what you directed, yeah.
Okay, comment on that. The contract with Montgomery Watson is on a per-request basis. In other words, it's based on a written request from the district and a written response. So it's a very limited contract, and Montgomery Watson Capital only does work at the specific request of the general manager under the general manager's direction. So there's really tight controls under that contract, on that contract as approved by the board.
Well, what I'm seeing is that the really tight controls is going to cost us $30,000.
Well, that's right. There was a not to exceed figure that the board set a policy of staff's ability to give direction, and they set that limit at $30,000. I think that's the figure you see there.
What are the deliverables that we'll be receiving?
Again, that's at the specific request of the general manager. He would request deliverables. I can tell you that as it's our standard contract agreement, that all things that are produced by Montgomery Watson Capital are the property of the district. But it's the contract is structured in such a way that if, for example, the general manager said, I need a report on this, what's it going to cost me and when can you deliver it? He responds and then it's authorized. So it's very deliberate, and from a board policy perspective, the general manager's ability to request services is capped at $30,000.
Maybe I'm confused as to what this is. Isn't this the lobbyist?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have freedom to do anything without being authorized.
Correct. But I doubt that we're going to say to him, I need a report on this.
No, it's mostly services. But what I've been doing with Mr. Lapel is writing him this internal memo saying, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And we just literally got the agreement today, and I don't know if it has gotten copied yet for the board.
I continue to maintain my concern and objection that I'd like to know what that scope of work is before we enter into this contract with him.
But, Madam President, your board authorized the execution of the contract as described by counsel.
I understand. I just want you to remind you that I think that we've walked into a situation that is not good.
He's reminding us that he voted no.
Right. I would just make one quick comment on that, because typically, as you know, our form contract does have a scope of work, and that has been the board policy, and certainly staff wrote the contract, so it's certainly staff's policy. However, you do get yourself with a certain types of consultants where it doesn't work if you have a scope of work. It could be interpreted to be overbroad. In this way, the scope of work is very specific and very narrow and is set there so that it is very conservative as far as spending district money. Otherwise, if you have a scope of work, you have the consultant going out there, and you don't know from using this type of consulting services when and what you need, because it's on an as-need basis. I mean, the scope of work would say as needed, just because of its very nature.
Director Nash Conner has some questions concerning 8, 9, and 10 on Exhibit A, since they indicate that the total cost may increase as a function of additional effort. Is there any sense of how much more the total cost for these three items might need to be increased?
That's undefinable at this time. You will be seeing an invoice from your real property appraiser. But it really is a function of how often and how much we ask them to perform the services. That's 8 and 9. In terms of 10, part of what you did this evening is to amend number 10 for this recharge project, but that's the sort of thing that can happen with the project management services being performed by Montgomery Watson.
Any other board comment? Is there public comment? Is there a motion to adopt the resolution to revise the wastewater project loan authorization?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mrs. Vega?
Director Gustafson?
Yes.
Vice President Nash Carter? Director Hensley?
No.
Director Smith?
Yes.
President Bowker?
Yes. Item number 16. Item number 15, revised board bylaws concerning committee processes.
Madam President, members of the board and the audience, staff is going to recommend that we continue this item. Council has several particular edits to the draft before you. In addition, your discussion earlier on reconsideration suggests that we need to nail that portion of your bylaws down. And we'd like to continue this item to draft and present to you those amendments in addition to some tweaking of the language.
Mr. Seitz, what do other districts do considering the issue of revisiting an item the board has already taken action on?
Well, it varies from board to board. And I'm very serious. There's a catechism of experiences with that. Those boards that lean towards Robert Rules of Order have this torturous mechanism where you either had to vote in favor of the motion or to have been absent in order to make the motion. From then on, any member of the board can second, and of course you take the vote to reconsider. Typically, the other way to do it, in the way that I think staff is going to recommend, is that you just follow the normal Brown Act procedures for board action on placing an item on the agenda. As you know, within our bylaws, any member of the board can make a motion at a meeting to place something on the agenda at a subsequent meeting. And so what would happen is the motion for reconsideration could be made at one meeting. If it had three votes, and staff would put it, just to reconsider, would put it on the next meeting. This meeting was kind of fortuitous in one event, because the motion for reconsideration was already joined with an item on the agenda, which was would include reconsideration of the board's action as prior meeting. That's probably what we're going to bring back. I'm not a big fan of Robert's Rules of Order. I think it's too limiting, and so I think we're going to bring that back. The other comment I had regarding the rules that I want to take a deeper look at is the ability of the board to delegate to committees. I've always been under the opinion, although I need to study this further, that under our enabling statutes, the sole authority to take action on a policy level is with this board and cannot be delegated. I want to make sure that that's clarified and brought back to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Comment? Is there any public comment? Is there a motion to continue this item?
So moved.
And Director Nash Corner is seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number 16, review draft environmental guidelines.
Thank you, Madam President. Presented in this packet is a set of possible environmental review guidelines. This set is essentially a reprint of the current state guidelines formatted in the format that is acceptable for a special district, and it's actually produced by the California Special Districts Association. What you see through the document are a series of blanks where we could insert the Los Osos Community Services District, but essentially it is a recitation of the Resources Code. The law does require your board to have a set of guidelines. I prefer the more detailed guidelines because I think it is desirable to be able to share with your community the process in more detail. You do have the discretion. What my board in McKinleyville wanted to do was simply refer to the state guidelines. You could adopt the state guidelines by reference if you wish. My recommendation to you is to use the fuller set of guidelines because I think it is helpful providing your roadmap to your community. So my request and recommendation is you review these and you set a public hearing for April 6th on whatever you want, whichever course you want to take.
Do you have any board comment?
I've looked over this with our general manager and as an environmental consultant, something that I passed on to him that I'd like to share with you is that this is a really nice package. And one of the things that I especially like about it is Attachment A, the environmental checklist form. This form, one, it's really important when you're reviewing a project, but the format that the general manager has presented to us is a really clear, straightforward way to do it. This is really nice.
Thank you. A comment is coming.
Yeah, faster, cheaper, better.
Director Nash-Conner states, I really like the references to economic and social objectives. It goes well with what we heard from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Practical. Is there any public comment? Is there a motion to move staff's recommendation?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 17.
Madam President, item 17 is an action to create a resource park donation fund. One of the concepts set forth in your project description and your assessment is that we won't include all of the bells and whistles that aren't absolutely necessary for completion of our wastewater project, and that we'll try to mobilize community resources for that purpose and hopefully as well grants. We were approached earlier this month by the Los Osos Valley Garden Club. They wanted to make a donation, but they wanted naturally some credit, and they wanted some assurance that it would be reserved for that purpose, and they felt particularly strongly that if your board was willing to create this fund, that they'd kick it off with a donation, and I believe the president has that donation in her hands.
Yes, I have a $50 check from the Los Osos Valley Garden Club to establish the landscaping fund for the Los Osos Wastewater Project.
So staff's recommendation is to authorize the opening of a savings account at Mid-State Bank for this purpose.
Board comment?
I would like us to find some way to memorialize this momentous occasion. That
take a picture of you shaking Gary LaPelle's hand.
Other than our water fees, we are actually taking in some money.
I have a comment.
I have a comment.
Director Smith.
Having worked on the Bear Statue Project many, many years ago, we encouraged the public to get involved and make donations to get enough money to do the bear statues. I know firsthand how quickly the money can accumulate when people really get behind something like this. And you'll be amazed at how fast that fund will grow.
Director Nash-Carner would like to know if we absolutely have to charge an overhead like the county.
No.
Yay. Any other board comment? Public comment?
I'm happy to make a comment at this point because I think it's a wonderful idea, and I know how skillful the president has been in the past with the Elvin Forest, and that wonderful 4,700-foot walkway was a great addition. And creating something for the people on the other side of town is also a more balanced approach, and I like that a lot. I hope you include a dog park in there, if you can consider that. And I would also say that Bob Simonson really wanted us to do something within the community. This is his opportunity. And having given all those developers all this extra money by letting them take a secondary mitigation, they might want to contribute something back to this fund as well. So let's hope that their hearts are in the right place.
Thank you, sir.
Board members, George Taylor, 423 Mitchell Drive. I would just like to say that I think that you have a great opportunity, as Director Smith has said, that there's a great outpouring when something like this comes along. All we need to do is, I'm preaching to the choir here, we just need to get the word out. And however we can do it, and if I can be of any assistance, I'm always here to help get the word out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
I'm Betty Clark on Los Osos Island. Every time I speak, I always regret that I didn't take notes in terms of what I really wanted to say. But when I was talking earlier, this is what I was talking about. You were cutting things away from the project, and I think this is really great. And let's see, I get 87 cents off of my bill, right? So 87 cents I can contribute every month to this. And you'll take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You got my vote.
Hi, Hunter Kilpatrick again. Just a couple of suggestions. Rose, I know that the selling 1 square foot of the Elfin Forest was a tremendous success, and I've got my square foot on the wall, and I know exactly where it is, even though you won't tell me. Maybe we can start something like that again. And also, since this is being televised and the fund's being authorized, maybe you can let the audience, the television audience that's not here, know where they can send their checks and what to mark on their checks.
Mr. Buell?
Anybody that wants to donate to the Resource Park Fund can do so by mailing their check to the Los Osos Community Services District at 2122 9th Street, Los Osos. There's usually a memo placed on the check. Please place Resource Park Landscape Fund in that memo slot or write a little cover note, either way.
Thank you. Well, perhaps when we had the contributions for the Elfin Forest, we said we would put their names on the mural. So maybe when we build our resource park, we can find a way to put the names on the wall so that the people who contributed to the fund will be acknowledged.
The septic depot?
Hmm? Is there a motion to create the Resource Park Landscape Donation Fund? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Buell, we really need to make sure we write a nice thank you note to the Los Osos Valley Garden Club. Thank you. Item number 18 is to retain a consultant to negotiate with PG&E concerning the purchase of streetlights.
Thank you, Madam President. Your board had started this discussion at your workshop retreat on February 12th. At that point, your board directed me to secure a proposal in regard to this negotiation. We've been working with Mr. Russell Hamm, who is the executive director of the California City County Street Lighting Association. He's prepared over 50 of these, or conducted over 50 of these sales over the last 20 years. My discussions with PUC indicates that he's the only active consultant doing this work. He has actually done what I think is a service to the district by analyzing the cost effectiveness of the potential sale for you at no cost. What he's done is to give you the numbers you needed to make a determination as to whether you're interested. Essentially, even with the cost to negotiate, you would recover your reinvestment in about 9.5 years, outside of 12.5 years if PG&E gets really sticky on the purchase price. But following that repayment period, you would be able to enjoy rates of about 50% of what PG&E would otherwise charge. Essentially, if you can use reserves for this purpose, especially for your assessment zones, you could consider reducing their assessment in the year following the purchase of the streetlights from PG&E, because your costs will dramatically decrease, and it would only be fair at that point to consider reducing the assessment for those folks, because you would no longer need to be collecting that amount of money. Staff's recommendation is to retain Mr. Hamm to negotiate with the $5,000 cost split between your funds as a function of the relative percentage of the lights that each fund is responsible for.
Mr. Gustafson?
Yes, and I think it's a very good idea, and if we can use the reserves and some of the funds to get that paid off sooner, in reality, we'll wind up picking up the use of the money. I think the opportunity cost on that money would be well, it would. I'm sure we haven't taken a hard look at it, but I'm sure it'd be well worth it to use that money and to start reducing the assessments in those areas that we can do that. And the sooner we can do that, the better off we're going to be. At least make it known that we'll be able to do that. And we should know that fairly soon.
Mr. Hensley, do you have a comment?
No.
Director Nash Carner agrees with Director Gustafson. Is there any other board comment? Public comment?
Al Barrow, 700 El Moro, Los Osos. As a point of clarification, and since people can all see this, as I understand it, the McKinleyville plan was that people who wanted street lights could buy into it, and those who didn't wouldn't have to. This is a voluntary program?
No.
We already have the streetlights. We have some lighting districts that we operate.
I understand.
But
that.
We don't own the lights. And we would save our customers money by buying the lights.
Okay, this isn't adding more lights at all. Thank you.
Other public comment?
Taylor, Mitchell Drive. I thank you for the clarification. I think a lot of us are very concerned about any proposal of any additional streetlights, and since this is streetlights that are already established and you're just taking them over, that's wonderful. But don't try and start putting streetlights in where we don't want them. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Is there a motion to retain a consultant to negotiate for the purchase of the streetlights?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item number 19, preview the joint LOCAC, Los Osos CSD meeting and authorize transmittal letter to county supporting LOCAC's process.
Thank you, Madam President. In your packet is both a draft agenda and also a rough draft of a letter to the county in regard to the process. I'm grateful to the Executive Secretary for pointing out an egregious error on the agenda. The meeting would be held at Sea Pines, not here. This room is actually booked, and I just spaced out at 3 in the morning and got the wrong venue, so my apologies. Also, in discussing the agenda with you, Madam President, we agreed that it might be desirable to have ground rules as the first item, even before LOCAC matters. And I believe it was your opinion that the Coastal Commission letter should be listed as a LOCAC matter.
With the general plan update.
Yep.
Because that's what it addresses.
Agreed. So those were possible amendments to the agenda and the notice or anything else the board wants. And in regard to the agenda and the notice, I faxed this to Mary Ellen Simpkins, the chair of LOCAC, I believe Tuesday morning, but I have, and I tried to call her today, but I didn't get a response from her. It's my belief that LOCAC will talk about this on the 23rd at their meeting coming up. And then also there was a suggestion by the president that in regard to the letter to the county that in the end of the second paragraph that we add a sentence asking the county to include LOCAC in the process for reviewing comments on the general plan update. Mm-hmm. And I thought that made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So the staff's recommendation is to kick both the agenda and the letter around to your heart's desire and tell us what you want to do.
Here to there to there. Director Nash Carner says that this is a wonderful opportunity to support the future of Los Osos that Los Osos has chosen for itself and worked 8 years to create. After the joint meeting, if there are no objections, can we send a strong letter of support to the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Department and the Planning Commission concerning LOCAC's work?
Yes, although I think that's what you're I think part of what you're doing in terms of process is here. I'd encourage you to walk through the plan itself next on the 30th, and you could authorize that letter at that time, or you could put this on your agenda for April 6th, whatever you feel you want to do.
Okay. Other board comment? Public comment?
My name is Gwen Taylor. I live on Mitchell Drive. I think that you should reserve any letters or any determination until you find out what the Coastal Commission is going to require of the community to update their general plan within the confines of the Coastal Act. And I believe that that was one of the problems that the Coastal personnel had was the fact that too many things were not in compliance with the Coastal Act. So therefore, until such a time as LOCAC has been able to review and see what the requirements are, it would seem a little presumptuous to send anything to the supervisors in approval of the general plan until that those changes have been made.
It's not an approval of the general plan, it's an approval of the process that LOCAC went through.
Just the process, no plan approval. Is that correct?
That's what this letter is addressing, is process. Oh.
It represents the fact that the efforts that LOCAC went in involving the community in outreach and public participation and inclusivity in arriving at their comments on the plan that was submitted. It is not, in fact, it's really, not too appropriate for us to comment concerning the plan, but we felt that we wanted to emphasize that LOCAC was speaking for the community.
Good. Thank you.
I had almost the same comment. I talked to Mike Wolken this morning, and he told me that the Coastal Commission had really put a lot of monkey wrenches in the plan, my basic interest in LOCAC is from a standpoint of providing the community with all-around affordable housing for working people and people who are on fixed incomes. They have yet to put that on the agenda, and I can't really support LOCAC until they do that.
Is there other public comment? I think LOCAC is the only committee I've ever heard of where the only way you can get off of it is to die. Any other board comment? Moving on to committee reports, Mr. Buell.
Did you need a motion board to take action?
Oh, sorry. Do we need to authorize the letter? Is there a motion to authorize the letter?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Were there any other edits to the agenda?
Any other edits to the agenda? Is it too early for you?
Yeah, there's an edit. Oh, no, it's 7 p.m. We can handle that.
I believe that there are no further edits from the board, Mr. Buell. Committee reports?
All of the minutes that are available are printed. We will be forwarding Wastewater and Finance and Budget Committee to you at your next board meeting. And the bylaws for the Emergency Response Committee.
Director comments? Director Gustafson?
Director Hensley, does that mean we met prematurely, that we really didn't have to? That was all about. But I do have a comment relative to the Finance Committee. In going through the financial statements, it appears that if we continue at this pace, we'll have a surplus of about $608,000 mm-hmm. at the end of this fiscal year. So.
See, cheaper, better, faster. I had to say that for Pandora. Director Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a comment?
No.
Director Hensley?
No.
Well, Madam President, perhaps Director Hensley can talk about Prop 12 and Prop 13. I'd appreciate that.
Well, let's see. I really don't have a whole lot to say about it. The executive director of the Coastal Commission asked us today if we wanted any projects from Los Osos to go on his list that he is passing on to the governor, who asked him to provide that by the close of business today. I called our general manager and said, here's a hot one for you. You've got to get it done in the next 5 minutes. Here's the fax number. And like Superman, he delivered. And the letter went off this afternoon to the governor's office with the recommendations from the executive director of the Coastal Commission. And after some haggling, there's $5 million worth of requests from Los Osos.
I want to thank Director Hensley for being in the right place at the right time.
It's not money in the bank. Don't get too excited. It's just our name on a piece of paper in front of the governor.
Doesn't hurt.
Can we call in every day?
Director Smith wants to know if we can call the governor every day.
What do you want to call him?
I want to say, please.
Director Nash Conner wanted to know if it would help to have Senator O'Connell call the governor about it.
Yeah, good idea.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh.
He doesn't think it's a good idea. Director Buell, I mean, General Manager Buell thinks it's a good idea. So what projects?
Perhaps we should discuss that strategy.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Okay. What were the projects?
Well, actually, I asked for $55,400,000.
Well, there were actually
not being shy.
Actually, it was more than $55,400,000. It was a list of things, but there were more people in the room than just us.
Why not?
Well. They're certainly not going to forget Los Osos. Director Gustafson, did I ask you if you had any comments? Yes.
Yeah, all my comments I made under committee reports, so thank you.
Can I make any for you?
Yeah.
No.
Is our swimming pool on that list?
I'm sorry, no. That's a very good thought. I was a little fixated on the wastewater project.
No, the key issue in the discussion of what made the cut and what did not make the cut was what was reasonable for the Coastal Commission to recommend. A swimming pool didn't seem reasonable for the Coastal Commission to request.
A big swimming pool, maybe?
Agenda and scheduling?
Yes, I do. Madam President, on the 6th, I expect that your environmental consultant is going to walk through the draft project description for the environmental impact report with you. This evening, you continued a number of items, including the environmental guidelines to the 6th. Then later in the month, and it should say April 20th, I apologize, I don't know where that came from, but you're going to be looking at environmental impact report alternates. Also, I believe on the 20th, you'll have a presentation in regard to your groundwater model results. And it really is exciting seeing that groundwater model finally get to a point where it's usable. So I really look forward to that.
Thank you. I would like to announce that we have completed our meeting within the 2.5 hours of videotaping time. This meeting's adjourned. I didn't think we would. Of course, there may be a lynch mob outside.